Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and this is Love University. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. And every week we talk about something related to relationships, love, and also self-esteem. How to be the best person you can be. How to reach your highest nature. And we've been having some really exciting guests recently, and our podcast has been very highly appreciated. And today we have a very fascinating guest who I think we're going to have a lot of time enjoying. This gentleman here is named Mario Rivers. Mario Rivers is a relationship and life coach, motivational coach. He's an author. He has a podcast. He does a lot of coaching and different things. Welcome to the show, Mario.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Avila. I appreciate it.
Yes, we're very excited. Your materials are very, very interesting. You have a lot of interesting materials. And you talk a lot about relationships and even business as well. And it looks here that you talk about something called the truth about keeping it real or keeping it 100%. The Blueprint to Relationships. So this is, I think, a book you wrote. And the idea of keeping it 100%, what does that mean?
So the focus of that is being 100% honest with your partner that you're trying to build with. Because most people, you're introduced to their representatives or the person in the best light that they want you to meet before you realize, recognize the real person. We all have representatives.
Uh-huh. So representatives meaning what? Like we put on a mask or something?
That's
or?
Right. We put up a mask of our best self, and we kind of sort of, shade the things that, you know, everybody has an ugly deep down inside. And when you're trying to meet somebody, you don't want them initially to see that part of you. So you put on a representative instead of keeping it 100% truthful. And that's kind of what the book is based around.
I like that. That kind of matches, you know, my philosophy. And I wrote a book called Love Types. It talks about, you know, the personality compatibility and how, you know, we have a dating masquerade where everybody has a mask on. And, you know, and oftentimes they come off and then you find out you're incompatible. Right. So you're asking people to, or singles, to basically be themselves at the very beginning. But I've had people on the show that said, wait a minute, but what if yourself is not very confident? What if yourself feels inferior? What do you tell people like that? How do you become your better self?
Well, people think that, life is a sprint, but it's a marathon. So you have to take time every day and set out specific steps and goals for you to reach that better person. I mean, every speaker, every author, people like yourself, people like myself, we didn't get that way by, you know, like overnight. It took consistent work. You know, we had specific goals to get to where we wanted to be. And that's what people have to do is they have to map out specific little small steps, and then they can eventually get to that bigger goal. And that's how you do it, step by step.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing, Mario, you have a lot of interesting ideas here for people, I guess, to find their soulmate and to have a good relationship. And you talk about the good man. And, you know, we get female listeners and other readers always ask the question, you know, where are all the good men? Are they all taken? Are they all married? Are they all in the Marine Corps? Or Navy, and I think you were in the Navy as well.
Yeah.
First of all, what is a good man, and how does a woman find him, and deal with that good man?
Okay, so a good man is a relative term, because I found out in a lot of research that what is good for one woman may not be good for another woman. So everybody has different things. So where are all the good men? They're all around us. You'll hear. We'll talk about some current thing terms that people use, and they'll say that their inboxes are dry, meaning they don't receive any messages from men, and that's not the case. The case is the people that they're attracted to are not the ones who are contacting them. It's people that they don't look at as a match, and that's what they mean by where are all the good men, because they're around. It's just the ones they want aren't contacting them, and that's where that comes from.
So give me three qualities of a so-called good man. I mean, what is a good man these days? Because people have different opinions of it. Some people think a man who's sensitive, a man who's an alpha, strong male. What do you define as a good man, let's say, for women?
Okay, so as far as a good man, I would say a couple of things he needs to do to you. One, he needs to be honest. Two, he needs to have some respect for you. And three, he needs to have some integrity. Those three things. See, everybody else looks at all these goals or this list that they want to check off marks. You know, does he have a good job? Does he have this? Does he have that? But if he has those three things, all the rest of everything will fall in line. And that's why we fail at love a lot, because we put unrealistic expectations on people. And humans change all the time.
Yeah, Mario, so Say those three things again. I want our listeners to really understand those. What are those three things of a good male?
Okay, so honesty is one.
Yes.
Integrity is the other.
Yes.
And I forgot what the third one is. I'm not taking notes here.
Was it respect?
Respect. Yes, respect.
Okay, so honesty and respect. I like that. Okay, that sounds more like, is that the Marine Corps creed, or is that one of the creeds for you guys, the Navy?
No, the creeds for us is honor, courage, and commitment. But
okay, well, it's pretty close, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty close.
So integrity. So define integrity for me. Again, that could be defined differently. But what do you see as that?
So I'll make an example how social media has really changed how we do relationships. So when I'm talking about integrity, it means doing the right thing when no one's looking. So I just did release something about how people. I asked the question, should you delete all your social media profiles if your partner asks you to do that? And how we relate that to integrity is that if you trust the person to do the right thing, to not be in other women's inboxes, to not, you know, do sneaky underhanded things on social media or on the internet, that's having integrity, knowing that, you know, even though you have the option to hit other people up, you don't. You do the right thing by the person that you're with.
Okay, I think you mentioned the word trust a lot in your materials. So trusting the person, like you said, to do the right thing, to be loyal and committed. And that's an important aspect. And I guess integrity could also be doing what you say you will do and being who you say you will be. In other words, you're someone that lives according to who they are, not trying to be fake or phony and things like that, artificial. So, I mean, authenticity is very important. I talk a lot about this in the book I'm writing right now, The Invincible You, is being true to your nature.
Right.
You're a quieter person. Maybe you're more outgoing. Whatever personality style you have, you'll be that person at the beginning of the relationship and also toward the middle and as far as it goes. Because many times people find out, hey, you know, you're not really what I thought you were. You know, you're different. You're more quiet. I thought you were more outgoing and so forth.
Right.
And that could be an issue as well. And the other thing that you talk about, now the counterpart to that, we have also male listeners, and they say, well, where do I find me a good woman? And you use the term strong woman. So define me a strong woman in your way of looking at it.
Okay, so that chapter in my book is all about self-assessment and looking in the mirror. And a lot of people are focused on what can I get from this other person instead of what can I give. So that chapter is really about asking themselves questions about how can I be better in a relationship? What can I bring to the relationship instead of what can I take from the relationship? So as far as a strong woman goes, it would be the same thing as what I said for the men, having integrity, having honesty, having respect, you know? A lot of the research that I've found is that most men and women cheat at the same rate. It's always been, you know, people think that men are the only ones that cheat, or we cheat at a much higher rate. But I was surprised actually when I did the research and I found that both sexes cheat at the same rate. What does that mean? That means that the same things that men have to deal with are the same things that women also deal with. And so we all have to focus. We have to focus. It's the same thing. Integrity, honesty, and respect.
It's interesting. And the summary sheet shows that women cheat more for emotional reasons, you know, for they're not listened to, they don't feel that connection. And sometimes men do it for physical reasons. But, I mean, it could probably work both ways.
Right, absolutely.
Now, the other thing is when we use the word strong, you know, we also talk about, like, the masculine and feminine energies. You've heard of the yin and the yang energy. Like the yang is the more softer, so-called feminine energy, and the yang is more the masculine energy. Some men have more yin energy. You know, they're softer, and some women have more of the masculine energy. And the key is the balance. How do you see that? Do you see a strong woman as more masculine energy or feminine or a combination of both?
Every woman is different, but here's how I define strong, right? So you want a woman to be dependent, meaning that she has her own goals and aspirations and things that she likes to do. And then you want her to also be interdependent, meaning that she knows how to combine that, her own thing, with you when you get into a relationship with her. So I said dependent and interdependent. Now, you don't want her to totally be dependent on the man to do everything. Like, you don't want her to not have anything going for herself, because that's going to produce some problems.
Exactly. So the clingy personality, the dependent personality,
right,
either male or female, is not very attractive.
Right.
But then if they say, well, I don't really need you, you know, whether it's a male or female, I don't need your whatever you offer, you know, I can be my, you know, independent, then that can also not be as attractive.
Exactly.
So you want that kind of a balance, right? That kind of exactly. a little bit of both dependency and the brands. Right. And the other thing, you have some interesting points. Like you kind of like say you keep it very like down to earth and real. And some of these things may seem a little controversial to some people. But you talk about the idea of what you call the gold digger versus expecting quality. And the idea that you know, males obviously don't want women that want them just for their money. But you said women do want a man who's successful. That's attractive to them. How do you differentiate the two terms?
Glad you asked. So the gold digger is a woman who expects all these. Remember that checklist that I said we put on, you know, these expectations we put. So a gold digger is someone who expects all that without giving anything in return. Now, the difference is that a woman who expects all that, but she also gives as much as she expects, it's about reciprocation. That's the difference between the two. One doesn't expect to give anything. The other one gives just as much and reciprocates.
I see. And you're saying that, I mean, women and sometimes men too want someone who's successful, maybe in their career and who's intelligent, even has something to offer. So you don't see that. You don't see that as a bad thing. That, you know, let's say I'm choosing a partner based on their success level, for example.
Not at all. So there's two things. I did a podcast and I wrote an article called The Rule of Three. And in that article, it said that people should have three things before they, I would say, considering to date them. One is transportation, one is residence, and one is employment. And what I said in that article, in that podcast, was that it's not about being materialistic, but it's about having something more to offer as a viable candidate for long-term relationships. Because if they don't have those three, again, it's about being on an even playing field. And you know how social media goes, right? You'll see the post where there was one woman who said that she started letting the guy borrow her car, and then she started having issues with asking him to bring it back, and, you know, guys that don't have work and they have to pay for everything on dates. It should be an even playing field. That's basically the premise of that statement. Right.
So if he's 30 years old, living in mama's basement and riding a bicycle and watching video games all day, that's not exactly the best catch.
Exactly. It's going to produce problems. You're going to be complaining that he doesn't have enough, he can't do enough, and that's going to put a strain on the relationship. I think, in my opinion, it's destined to fail.
Interesting. Right? You have very interesting ideas. Now, I'm going to switch you down to something that's even a little more controversial, and I think our audience will kind of find this very interesting. And this is a fascinating topic, and almost the age-old question. What do men desire from their ideal woman? And looking at your material, you kind of summarize it in a phrase that some people may or may not like. And the phrase is this: a lady in the streets and a beast in the bedroom. Now, tell me a little bit about that.
Okay. So I'm glad you asked that, too. So, you know, I wrote an article and I did a podcast called Ideal Woman. Yes. And the premise behind this is that every man wants a classy lady, someone who knows how to conduct themselves, because you're a direct representation of us when we're out, when people see us in public. And so we want that on the outside. But when you get home, it's not the time to be a goody two shoes. It's not the time to say no. It's the time when, if this is your partner, you should be willing to explore all areas of you know, in enjoying each other. And I think a lot of women, actually, it was something on social media I saw where women were complaining that all the promiscuous women get married to guys, and then all the good women are out here trying to vibe for the rest of the guy that's left. And what they don't understand is when guys cheat, they choose those types. They might not be more attractive. They may not make more. It's really about the physical, not always the physical, but that's why, you know, one reason why they cheat. So they need to learn that particular thing from those women and do that inside their committed relationship. Okay. And that is what we desire.
I see. There are a couple of points. I mean, some women might argue, well, you know, that kind of is making me look like a sex object. Why do I have to be crazy in the bedroom, you know, and that's putting me in a bad light? How do you respond to those?
It's putting you in a bad light if you do that with multiple men. Here, we're not talking about multiple men. We're talking about the one man that you've chosen to become monogamous with. So that's the difference. It's about doing it with that one person and giving him, because see, a lot of women, right, when they want to date and they really want a guy to lock them down, they'll do all the things, you know, in the bedroom. They'll do all these things to try to convince the guy that, hey, I'm a good catch. I do this and I want you to choose me. And they do that with multiple men instead of reserving that for the one man who said, yes, I want to be with you. And that is who you give that special treatment to, not everybody. That's the difference.
Yeah, so your husband, for example. Now, let me bring in our producer here, Dan. Now, Dan, you're a married man. And how do you feel about this? This idea of the lady outside and inside, a woman who's kind of wild in her passionate and her sexual life.
I think Mario is a brilliant man.
Okay.
Who should be elevated to some sort of presidential status.
Wow, Mario, sure. Why not? You heard that? That's good.
I appreciate that, Dan. I appreciate it.
So that will be your platform, Mario. You want equality in the bedroom and also outside. Is that the thing?
Well, and I like what you're saying, though, about how it isn't about being a sex object, but it is about, you know, feeling free, but within that one monogamous relationship to, you know, be who you want to be or who he wants you to be, maybe, or whatever.
Well said, Dan. You know, go back to the producer room.
That's yeah. Right.
No, thanks, Dan.
If you hear a door slam, you'll know what that is.
Okay. Now, Dan, that was insightful. He's been a married guy for a long time. Now, the other thing, Mario, this is actually a little bit controversial, and I'll just put this in a very blunt way, the way you said it, that you're saying that ugly women make better lovers.
Yes. Now, you want me to talk about it?
If when I use that term, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, no one's really ugly, but if you say physically unattractive, if you judge them that way, I mean, isn't that kind of a mean thing to say, or is it true, or how do you define that?
So, obviously, my first book, I have some things to learn. Probably I could have said it in a more tactful way, but here's, let's break it down and undress that thing and make it naked. What I'm saying is this. We know that sex sells. If you go buy a magazine off the shelf, you're not going to see a physically unattractive woman. Why is that? Because all of us in society and in general are attracted to, you know, more attractive females. Now, here's the deal about why I say physically unattractive women make better lovers. They have less of a bargaining chip. Now, there's a mentality that from pretty women, from some research that I did, not my opinion, that they get a lot more things in life. It's just a proven fact, scientific fact, that people who are more attractive, they get better jobs, they get better offers, and they also get better treatment in relationships. So for a person who's a little bit less physically attractive, they have to, you know, do other things in other areas to basically, I'm not going to say to even the odds, but for lack of better words, that's what I'm saying. And so usually they have to be better in other areas. And that's one of the areas that they usually excel in. Like I said, during my research, I've interviewed a lot of people about it.
So working harder. Now, actually, there's some research to show that women have better relationships with men who are less physically attractive than them because the men will try harder. You know, maybe a man that doesn't have as many options socially,
exactly.
And he's going to put more effort and maybe be more loyal than a so-called pretty boy or, so, you know, so-called very physically attractive male. So, that, I mean, that could work both ways, I would think. But then, you know, the other thing, Mario, is that, you know, sexuality is very complex in many ways. Now, some people have very high sex drives, and for them, this is very important in the bedroom. And other people have, you know, lower sex drives. So you might have a couple that are matched, like two high sex drive people, two low sex drive people, or even a high with a low, and that can pose some problems. And then, of course, in the stage of life, you know, maybe in the earlier the marriage stages, there's a lot more activity, and then later on, you know, there's more emotional intimacy, more physical affection, but less maybe of the sexual activity. How do you see that progressing? Should a couple always have a high sex life, or should it depend on the stages and things?
Okay, so in our lives, we know that it's a fact that as men age, their sexual drive decreases, and women's, according to research, supposedly increases. But I found that everybody is different. And the biggest thing about that is to communicate, because people constantly change. Although we resist it, it's the most constant thing, right? Everybody's always changing. Your body's going to change. So your drive may change. And the thing is, you have to communicate about that. It's as a man gets older, he will have a lower sex drive than he did when, say, you first got married. But it's all about that particular relationship, and you have to really communicate that things. A lot of people don't talk about sex and what they like and dislike, and that's why some people are sexually frustrated. We don't communicate about it.
That's a great point. I know you're a married man yourself. I mean,
yes.
What is the, I guess, drawback to being married? What is the greatest advantage? And I know you said you were a single man, you traveled the world, dated a lot when you were younger, and experienced a lot, but now you're married, and I know you're happily married. So tell me, where do you see marriage in both pro and con?
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. If you scroll on anybody's news feeds or you look at social media, it would seem that all the single people are just really, really wanting to be held down. And then it would seem that on the other side of the aisle that maybe those people desire something else. Because let's be real, everything, how it looks on the outside, is never how it truly is on the inside. And people put their best foot forward on social media, and I think it's mostly fabricated.
That's a good point.
So for marriage, it's a constant journey. It's a constant thing you have to work on. You have to be intentional about making it work, because over time, like I just said about people changing, things change, people's views change, people's goals change. And if you don't change with that, then you'll go 10, 20 years down the line and not even recognize the person that you're sleeping next to. And this is why I came up with something called the QRA, the Quarterly Relationship Assessment. And similar to how businesses conduct assessments of their progress every 3 months, I do the same thing with relationships, in which you come to the table, you have a mini vacation, and on the second day of that mini vacation, you talk about all the issues and you write them down, and then you revisit it back in 3 months and see what the progress is. So people have to realize that relationships and marriage is an up and down thing. Every day will not be a happy day. Just like being single has its advantages. You know, you're free to come and go as you please. You don't have to consult anyone. But at night, you know, or in life, when you want somebody to share those goals with, that's not there. So you always have that in marriage. You have somebody there to support you. You have somebody to share things with. And look. I like having my clothes washed and my food cooked.
Now, I hope your wife is not listening to this podcast right now, or is she listening?
No, she's not listening, but she wouldn't be upset because, you know, we joke a lot, so she'd be cool with it.
Okay. So basically you're talking about intimacy and kind of a security feeling, a feeling that someone loves you as a married person. And then as a single person, you say a little more freedom and all that kind of stuff. But then again, you know, I mean, it seems like everyone wants what they don't have. You know, like young people want to be older people want to be younger, single people want to be married people want to be dead. No, just
isn't that funny?
not really. Just kidding. I mean, you know, everyone wants something, but I think if you find your balance, it sounds like you find a comfortable balance,
right?
Where you can grow together and be, you know, kind of a team. I don't know. What does your wife do? Does she help you with your work, or does she do something else?
No, you know. Honestly, my wife, I've been afforded the opportunity that I make enough to where my wife doesn't have to work. And so she's a very, very strong woman, and she helps me out she does everything for the house. She helps with the kids. I help them with their homework every day, but we pretty much, you know, she's an excellent cook. She's one of those country women who are used to those old ways. You know, a lot of
those are the best, right?
Right.
Did she make those nice, you're from Texas, right? You get those nice Texan dishes and all that?
Right. So she experiments with a lot of stuff. And she, like I said, she's an excellent cook. We're going to look at starting a restaurant here soon. But, I mean, she helps me in that way.
As long as you hit the gym, right? You don't want to get too much of that food in you.
Right. I work out every morning. Okay.
So Mario, this is really a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I'm enjoying talking to you. You have a very interesting take on things. And the good thing about it is you're very authentic. You know, some people are afraid to say certain things and, you know, might offend people, but, you know, you're coming from a good place, from the heart, right? I think you really want to help men and women. And let's go to the deeper stage. Let's say that we're getting past the single stage and the sex stage, attraction stage. Now let's talk about the long-term relationship, because this is where a lot of people fall. You know, it's great to date. You can have nice sex with a person and, you know, fun with them. But once you actually get to commitment and settling down, and one of the things you talk about, the relationship builder exercises, I think you say, you know, how to really build a relationship. And one thing that you say is very interesting. You say, finish the way you begin. So in other words, keep doing what you did to get the person. Is that kind of what you mean?
That's exactly what I mean. You know, it's so weird. Today, I actually, I'm sorry, today, yesterday, Monday, I released a podcast, and it's called, it's actually talking about that. I came up with 11 core concepts, and the first one is to finish the way you begin. And that's because over time, right, the thing that initially attracted you to the person is stuff that we lose sight of. And I struggle with this as well. Like, for instance, if you met your significant other and you used to always give her back rubs or you used to always buy her flowers, well, she's going to still expect that down the line. And a lot of us drop the ball on that. I'm no exception. I have to be intentional about it. And the same thing happens with women. Certain things that they did when they first start the relationship, they feel after they've gotten them, they feel like, okay, I hooked them, I'm comfortable. And that is the totally wrong thing.
That's interesting. Now, Dan, my engineer here, are you still bringing flowers and doing those little romantic gestures? did you still sing the love songs from the 60s?
Every night. It's one of the things that I have to constantly work on because she lets me know when I'm lacking in that area. So all of us experts, right? We're no different than anyone else. We have to be intentional also, or we'll drop the ball too. So sometimes I fail on that, but it's about getting better and recognizing when you don't do it, and then, you know, getting back on top of it.
Right. And I know you said you're a Navy person, and discipline is important. So in some ways, applying discipline to your marriage is an interesting thing, you know, to work at it, you know, to put effort into it. Like you said, people get, I guess, lazy, or they get too content.
Right.
So the effort has to be there. And that's interesting because, and especially for males, sometimes males, you know, tend to get lazy and they think, well, I don't really have to put effort into it. But then they forget the benefits. What are the benefits for a man who can put effort into his marriage or his long-term relationship?
I'll tell you, for men, I think, we look at the big picture. So let's say we're the horse pulling the cart. All those things might be your family, your children, making sure you can provide and all of that. And in looking at it like that, you lose sight of those little things, those little details that matter to women, like, you know, sending those texts good morning, or saying I love you on a consistent basis, or telling you, hey, love, you look good, you know. And we looking at that big picture, and we forget the small details. Now, the byproducts of those, when you do those things, you'll find that women are more willing to whatever it is you have, cook for you, clean for you, whatever you want. The byproducts it'll be reciprocated better because they understand that you're being intentional about not forgetting those small details.
Right, and more passion in the bedroom, I would imagine. So you don't have to sleep on the couch every night, right? You
can exactly. Go back.
Right.
Right.
You're out of the doghouse, as they say, right? So
right.
Some good things. So a challenge for all the males listening to our show today, you know, go out there and, you know, send that loved one a little text to your wife or, you know, long-term girlfriend or lover. Something sweet, you know, maybe get her the candy and the flowers or whatever. I mean, I guess it has to be tailored to the woman. Some women don't like candy. It makes them fat. Some people don't like flowers. It makes them allergic. So you got to find that little, whatever they love, right? That little extra.
Communication. Yeah. Communication is key.
Exactly. Now, you also talk about, and this is a really important one, the basics, and you call this respect and integrity. And I'm wondering, do what men and women see respect differently? Because we often say, you know, you need to respect me. How do the men and women see that differently, if they do see it differently, Mario?
Well, I'll tell you this, because today's dating landscape has changed so drastically. Here's the thing. Men, we have more options when it comes to dating women, because I read two or three days ago, a article about women dating outside of their socioeconomic class. And I found that most of them don't date below their socioeconomic class. Men, we do, which means that we have more of an eligible pool of candidates than they do. And so that's where that comes from.
Okay. But the idea of respect, I mean, for example, a man likes to be respected for his accomplishments, for example. A woman may want to be respected for her love and, you know, her attention. How do you see that in any way different, or does it apply to gender differently?
No, I think it's the same for both sexes. You know, it's about, like, I'll make an example. Let's say a man has some type of hobby that he likes to do, but he's real passionate about the hobby. And he meets a woman, and every time the woman mentions anything about the hobby, she doesn't recognize that that's something that he's passionate about. And so she might just say something that she might not think anything of, but it might affect him in a negative way. So it's really about, like, again, communication and reciprocation and whatever means something to the person, respect that, even if it doesn't mean anything to you.
So he's under the car all day and she says, oh, you're greasy and smelly. Why are you always around in your car? But he loves cars. So now he may be hurt. So what should she say about him being under the car?
Well, is he making – I mean, if he's doing that as a hobby that he loves – One thing that we do is like, for instance, this when men like to watch sports, right? They don't like to be bothered while they're watching sports, and women always tend to walk in with their lingerie, and you know they want to. Okay. Anyway, the thing is about
it's a halftime show, so they figure there's a little break, right, in the halftime,
right?
But not really.
But you gotta respect each other's space, and yes. People think that there are no boundaries or no privacy in marriages or relationships, and I actually disagree with that. I think it's healthy to have some personal time or things, and you just have to respect that time. Don't wait. If he's under the car, as long as when he comes to bed he's not greasy and he's showered up, leave him be, you know? Allow him to enjoy those small things in life.
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, appreciate and compliment, you know, them and what they do, right? Great cooking or whatever it is that they're good at.
Right.
And the other thing you talk about, Mario, that's very interesting, is you say exercise your standards. Don't just spend time with people just to spend time. Because sometimes, you know, with our dating online and everything, people have a lot of options. You know, they can date 100 people in 2 months if they want. But you're saying that's not a good idea, to not put time into, you know, things that are not compatible for you. So what's your advice for people on that in the dating world?
Well, what I say about standards is this. A lot of people, I think, have unrealistic expectations or unrealistic standards. So for instance, there's that list I was talking about again. They might say, I want a man that makes $100,000 a year, drives a Mercedes Benz, and stays in a nice house, right? But that's realistically, that's not all men. We are not all at that stage. And so you have to meet a person where they're at, meaning be realistic about those standards you set. As long as he works, as long as he has his own place and he has employment, does it matter how much he makes? Does it matter where he stays? Eventually, if you want to move out of that, you can move up together. But
except for Dan, a producer. Dan, you're a guy with the Mercedes and a big house, right?
Oh, absolutely.
not really. Oh, okay.
I have two.
Oh, two houses.
Two houses, yeah.
What do you think of that idea, Dan? I mean, the idea of women wanting men with a lot of money and all that. How do you feel about that?
Well, it stinks for us, but you do get the impression that women in certain communities are very aware of their value. That's the nicest way I can put it.
Okay. And I guess you could say men want women that are so-called physically attractive too, right? So how do you balance that part of it?
Do you balance as far?
Yeah, for you.
Yes. Okay, I didn't know. So you said, what's the question again?
I mean, women are looking for men with a lot of money, and men are looking for women with a lot of physical beauty. How do you see that? Is that a fair exchange, or is that something that is superficial?
I think it's a bit of both. And as far as the superficiality of it, I think that everybody wants somebody that's attractive, and that's okay. And I found that most attractive women, they do less in the relationship because they have some sense of entitlement. Not all. But in a lot of cases, like I said, it's just the fact that more attractive people get better treatment. It's just a general fact, not necessarily that they're like that. It's just, you know, statistically. And so, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm here.
So it's okay to want somebody of quality, but you have to be willing to reciprocate and give something and not just feel like because you're pretty, you should get all of this stuff without just you staying near Los Angeles. I mean, it's a lot of people like that out there in L.A.
Well, there you go. Dad's laughing about that.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is the halo effect in social psychology where physically attractive people are perceived to be smarter, nicer, and even have a better sense of humor, even though they may not really have that. On the other hand, there are a lot of spiritual qualities, and I think you mentioned that as well. You know, the internal qualities like kindness, compassion, you know, gentleness. Those can be very attractive qualities and make a person even look better in a physical way if they have those qualities.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that is also very powerful. So we need to look at, you know, what really attracts us. And also keeps us long term. Many times those inner qualities that last. The physicalness that may fade, you know, as you get older and so forth.
It will fade.
No. Yeah, there you go. Now, the other thing is, this is an interesting thing that I've actually experienced in a kind of a practical way, is you use the word get rid of the baggage, or I think what's the term you say? You say leave the extra stuff behind, or baggage claim. Right. Which I think you're talking about people that bring into relationships negative experiences from other dates or relationships, and then they kind of like color the relationship that you're in now. And I remember actually that I've actually lost my physical baggage. Last summer, I was with my son, who's a basketball player, played some college, and he's trying out for the Dallas Mavericks near you.
Awesome.
And ironically, the airline lost my luggage, so I didn't have my nice suits I usually wear. I was kind of a little bit upset. But then they told me, hey, you can go buy suits that you want, and we'll pay you for it. You know, we'll compensate you. I thought, okay, nice. Wow, that's kind of nice. And then a few months later, I was in Las Vegas for a convention, and the same thing happened. I lost my luggage again. I said, wait a minute, I'm going to go shopping now because I got this idea. So what if we think of it that way? You know, when we lose the negative baggage, we can actually try something new. You know, we can get something better in some ways.
Right, right.
So and how do you view that? What's your take on that, the idea of bringing the baggage into the relationship?
Okay, so all of us are the result of all of our life experiences. So, for instance, if you meet a woman and it's hard for her to trust, usually it's because of the root cause would be because in the past, maybe she's dated all men that have dogged her out, and she's learned that, okay, I need to have my guard up, and I won't trust as easy. And the thing that people do is they bring all of those, and then they try to put it on the next person they're with. So all of those negative experiences, this could be a totally different person that could totally have none of the characteristics or traits that you've had in the past. Yet we take all of that and we apply it to this person. And when we do that, then immediately we put the other person on the offensive because we treat them as if they'll do that same thing to us. And we need to start with a clean slate. And it's a very, very hard thing to do. Easier said than done, my friend.
So, Murray, lose your baggage and then have them pay for it, right? The new one.
Yeah, right. So yeah, a lot of men pay for things that other men have done in the past, you know, because that's how we are. We're human, right?
Yeah, and that could work for males to females. Sometimes males have been hurt too, right, by women who cheated on them. So they think everyone's going to cheat on me, etc. So definitely, I think it's a very powerful concept. And the other thing is, this is a really interesting one. You say that sex is a gift for marriage. Don't deny your partner the love connection. Tell us about that.
Okay, the sex is a gift. When I wrote this book, I did not base it on my spirituality and my faith.
Yes.
I mostly based it on like research and things that I found out. And so as far as sex being a gift of marriage, I believe that you shouldn't have sex until marriage. But I'm also a realist. And sometimes those things, they don't agree. Right. In today's world, I had polled a bunch of men and asked them, do they think sex is a part of dating? And most of them overwhelmingly said yes. But really, it's supposed to be a gift of marriage. And again, remember I said that when women get engaged or married and they hook that guy, they feel like they get comfortable, they get complacent. And that's what I'm talking about, the sex being a gift of marriage. It's sad, but haven't you heard the phrase that sex is where sex goes to die in a marriage? Even Dr. Maureen Grath, I watched a video she did on that about sexless marriage. And as people, you know, get older or get hitched, that the sex actually declines. And so that's what I mean by sex is a gift of marriage. Don't deny that to the person.
I see. Yeah, we actually want to do a show on sexless marriages. I've had a lot of people write to me about that. And so you're saying that neither male or female should deny themselves sexuality in marriage. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're sick or whatever. But what if you, let's say I'm a little tired today. No sex. Is that something that one spouse should say to the other? Or should they try to, you know, give the loving to the partner?
It's the big C word, compromise. So I'll make an example. Every woman has that time in the month. Man should be understanding about that. But here's the deal. If you communicate with your partner, like you were talking about men and women with high sex drives, and it's good to be matched up in that way. But let's say that you're not. There has to be some compromise. Compromise means doing things that you don't want to do sometimes for the benefit of the other person. And it has to be reciprocated. So yes, if you don't feel like it that night, sure, that's fine. But if it's a consistent thing all the time, eventually over time, some tension will build up. And when it comes out, it won't come out the right way.
Right. So Dan, if you have a headache every night, what's going to happen?
This is what starts.
Headache every night?
Yes.
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. So you want to get rid of the headache, I guess, in different ways. And actually love making cameras, release endorphins. So you actually feel better many times after making love.
For sure.
Now, let's get into some a little more personal here, Mario, because you seem like a very interesting guy and you have a lot of depth in you. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about your story and then you can kind of fill in. When I look at, you know, what makes you who you are? You know, where do you come from? What experiences have you had? You mentioned something that's really almost a very shocking. You said you had a good buddy in the military who I guess was being cheated on with, I guess, some guy. He walked in on them. And tell us what happened. Tell us the story.
So this is actually what prompted me to even publish the book. I already had everything written and I just sat on it. It was like sitting in my garage with dust on it. But a dear friend of mine was we were on deployment, and deployments, for anybody that doesn't know, are 9 months. So you're away from home for 9 months. This guy was married. And so when you're away from 9 months, there's nothing you can do about your spouse. You have to have those things we've been talking about, trust and things like that. So he found out his wife was cheating. And when we came back from the deployment, it was some very simple things that could have been discussed. They weren't discussed. And him and his wife ended up getting on bad terms. And she went to go seek fulfillment elsewhere. And when he walked in on them, he ended up getting killed. They had a confrontation, and the boyfriend of the wife actually ended up shooting him. And that's one of the things that made me so passionate about saving relationships or even helping them start and build the right way, because I don't want to see anybody else go through that situation.
That's very sad, very tragic. And I guess it gives you a perspective on life, you know, what life is about. It's about contributing and, you know, finding meaning in life, helping people.
And think about what we do, right? A lot of things that men do are to attract women. I'm talking about single men. A large percentage of the things we do, it's why we dress the way we dress, why we work where we work, why we drive the cars that we drive. And as for women, that's why they wear makeup all the time and they always want to look the part, because we're always after that elusive thing. We always want to be loved. We want to have that happily ever after. And it's a big part of our lives. Relationships are a huge part of people's lives, and it governs a lot of things. It can determine whether you have a good day at work or not. It could determine, you know, how you feel overall. And so it's a very serious thing, and yes, I want to help people with that.
I can see that. And up in your life, Mario, what kind of failure have you gone through that's helped you transform what I call pain into power? Have you gone through a terrible relationship or something in your life that, you know, turned you around? I know you said you were kind of a little bit of a playboy back in the day. So tell us, what in your life has been a failure that you turned around?
You know, as far as relationships go, I wouldn't say that I've had failures, because where people go, I'm a very optimistic person. So where people go and those life experiences might make them put their guard up. For me, it was a learning experience. And so it made my focus and clarity on who and what I want that much more clear. So talking about a breakthrough or something like that, a life experience that changed the way I do things, it didn't have much to do with relationships. It's really about like releasing that book, and you know, I write and play music too. And when I did the research, I found out that it wasn't as hard as I was making it in my mind. And so once I actually put the stuff out there, I realized that anyone can do anything. I mean, if I can do it, then anyone else can. And that was a huge revelation for me, because I was self-doubting myself the whole time. So
Mario, can you sing us a little bit something? Do you have a little original thing you can give me?
Oh, I play the piano and write. I don't do much singing.
But is there a little song? That can you give me like a few bars or something?
I don't sing much. I do most of the songwriting. But I do it for my Christian band. It's called New Generation.
So give me a couple lyrics. You write the lyrics. So what are the
couple lyrics? Yeah.
Something that I would like.
Let me think. It's a song I wrote called God's Unchanging Hand. And it basically says Jesus will make a way when things are going wrong and hold to his unchanging hand. Something like that. That was written so long ago.
Give him a little beat, a little harmony.
There you go.
Well, I can't do it by myself. I do this with my brothers, actually. All of my brothers are musically inclined. One of them plays the bass, one of them plays the drums, and so I wrote it for us. And
that's awesome.
I couldn't sing it for you because I would need them for the harmony.
Okay. Well, speaking of overcoming things like fear, Mario, like, what's been your biggest fear? Would you say like putting yourself out there in public, or What did you overcome as a fear in life?
Yeah. Again, with the music in the book, publishing my first book and not getting the response that I hoped. It's like you put this thing out there and you hope that my fear is not a failure, but that, you know, I would have spent all this time and money or whatever on this passion, and then it doesn't work out at the end, and then I have regrets. So that's my biggest fear, is to not leave a legacy for my kids, you know?
Okay. That's interesting. You know, I had a young man on my show, Andy Adopta. I don't know if you've heard about him. He is a mentor by Les Brown, the great speaker.
Right.
And
right.
This young guy, have you heard of Andy at all? He's a young guy.
Now, what's his last name?
Adate.
No, but yeah, I'm familiar with Les.
Though. Yeah, he's an entrepreneur, you know, young kid, about 20 years old, and he started his own business and became a speaker. And he said that, you know, when he put out his book, or was about to, he says, I thought of all the people that would suffer if I didn't put out my book. You know, maybe people that are suicidal or that can help with my writing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, interesting way. You know, I mean, what would I lose if I don't put out the book, is what he was thinking. Or what would people lose? So he thought of it in a different way. I thought that was interesting. Now, in terms of you, Mario, you know how we have all these great shows coming out? Are you going to watch the Avengers coming out this, I guess, by the time this airs, will be out.
But, oh man, I'm a huge Marvel fan.
Are you into that stuff? All right. So this is a great question for you. What superhero would you be, Mario? What kind of powers would you have if you could be a superhero?
If I could be a superhero, wow, that's I'd probably say Odin, Thor's father.
Okay. What are the qualities that he has?
Well, he's wise, but to get to that wisdom, he did a lot of bad things in his past that he learned from. So he's very wise as a king, right? Where, you know, when he said, "Don't you don't seek out war, but be prepared for it." So yeah, I'd be probably Odin, and he was very powerful too. He defeated Thanos in the comics, actually. So.
Okay, that's kind of cool. But in terms of relationship, what power would you have? Let's say to teach people, or to even have yourself, what would be an amazing power in a relationship?
Oh man, have you seen that movie with Mel Gibson called What Women Want?
I think I may have seen it. I don't recall, but
he could read women's minds and hear what they were thinking.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. That could be dangerous. Mario, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, because here's why, right? Oftentimes when I'm thinking that my wife is thinking something, I'm totally wrong. If I could read my wife's mind, I could make her a lot more happier. That would be a superpower that I'd like to have.
Cool, I like that. And Mario, what would you say? By the way, this is one of our longest podcasts. The time has flown by really quick.
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That means we're enjoying it. We're doing a great, I think, service to people. What would you say is your greatest accomplishment so far in life? It could be business or personal, or anything else. What is your greatest accomplishment?
The greatest accomplishment, I would say, showing my children that they can do or be anything they want. So, for instance, people might know me after your show, but prior to this, they probably don't know who Mario Rivers is. But I've released a book. I have more on the way. I've released music. I've published a lot of things. Me and my gospel band, we tour sometimes. So all of these things that I've achieved, it just let my kids know, and they can see this. That, hey, whatever I want to do, there are no limitations except the ones that I impose on myself in my own mind.
I like that. That's really nice. And right now, what are you most excited about? I know you're working on some online business coaching and other things, as well as relationships. Is there any project you're excited about right now that you want to tell people about?
Yeah, I'm working on a success life entrepreneurship book. It's going to be titled Dream. And basically, it's going to teach people how to follow their dreams, but also do it in a realistic fashion, and the things that they can expect along the way. And it's also to motivate and you know, give them determination and motivation. So it's one of those type of books. And I have four other books that I'm going to release, some on relationships, some on life and entrepreneurship. So I'm really excited about that. And also some music that I've been writing, and I'm going to be coming out soon. I'm really excited about working on that.
That's fantastic. And I'd love to maybe talk to you about collaborating with you, maybe either blog or podcast, or maybe, you know, when you come out here to L.A.
Awesome.
We could definitely do some stuff. And now, where can people hear about you, your website, things like that, Mario?
Well, they can find everything on MarioRivers.com. Very simple. When they get on the site, they can peruse around and some things. But I have a couple of free relationship courses they can take. I also have some paid courses. But if you go to MarioRivers.com, you can get my book there. You can kind of see my view on things, some of the research I've done. I have a ton of articles and podcasts and blogs and videos, and you can find that all there. So MarioRivers.com.
Right. I love the name Rivers. It's kind of like a flowing kind of name. Is that your real name, or did you change it?
It is. No, it is my real name. I was thinking about using a pseudonym, but then I thought, you know, people are going to see the real me anyway, so I might as well use my real name.
And Mario sounds like a Latino. I'm a Hispanic myself. So you have any Hispanic in you?
I don't, but interesting fact, I learned Spanish 4 years in high school, and the first place I visited in the Navy was Cartagena, Colombia.
Perfecto. Okay. So habla un poquito de español.
Sí, poquito, pero necesito practicar.
Okay, we'll do that. Well, it's been a pleasure, Mario. It's been a lot of fun. So I guess this is Dr. Avila with Love University. And again, our message is to extend loving energy without expectation, to help others, help yourself. You'll live the highest possible life you can and the most joyful life. And until next time, put away your books, your pens and your pencils. Love University is now in recess.